Thank you for the surprise this morning. From now on, I'll just walk up. Okay, what you got? No, but we do, Jelaine and I, we appreciate all the big things, the small things. We appreciate you caring about us. We appreciate you giving of your money, you know. We appreciate your thoughtfulness in blessing us and help and just saying we appreciate you, you know. You know, somebody comes up to you and they'll just tell you, you know, I love you and I appreciate you. See, your actions show the love of the Father in your heart towards us, and we thank you for that. We thank you. And we have a long road ahead here to get the job done, but we're going to get it done by the power and by the power of Almighty God. And you might say, what do you mean get the job done? That means getting souls saved for the kingdom of God. Getting souls saved for the kingdom of God. But Jelaine and I, we thank you. We thank you. And we sure will make a date to go out there and enjoy. I don't know who came up with the idea, whoever, but thank you. Oh, but thank you, and we certainly do appreciate it. And we pray the blessings of God upon you, upon your life. I know last Sunday we gave out these cards and stuff about praying for pastors. And, I just want to tell you, I know I have felt the difference. I want to tell you, you don't realize maybe the difficulties of life, you know, and I know you do, but then to have a church that you're trying to, you know, do and pray and seek but thank you for praying these scriptures for us daily. I want to thank you personally. You might say, well, Pastor, I forgot one day. That's okay. Just repent. say, Lord, forget. You might say, Pastor, I can't do them all. But take one scripture a day. Look, thou satisfy me. Because the word of God will move God and will move up the things that need to be moved upon the earth. So if anybody didn't get one, maybe from last week, and you'd like one, just raise your hand and we'll give one to you. Okay, I just want to make sure. Did you? Y'all didn't get one? No? You sure? Yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking. I don't want you to have a bonfire with the two you have. No, amen. Anyone else? I know there was, it looks like everybody was here. Clarissa, how are you doing?
Good.
I need to get with y'all, okay? If y'all still want to get married, hey, I told you what we could do. Look, you said yes. You might say, let's go elope. Okay, no. But we do, definitely. I'm messing around, but. Well, we do appreciate you guys, and I want to thank you for your prayers. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, look at starting with verse 1, page 1697, okay? And I know it's a familiar parable to you, but we need to look into this. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, said, 'Not so, lest there be enough for us and you. But go you rather to them who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answers and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Here I know we look at this, and we look at it as the coming of the Lord, which is, that's correct, and in the right context. People try to take this and say it means this or that. You always have to look at the context of the scripture and apply it into the context. Now, it can mean a few little whatever, but it is talking about the coming of the Lord. And it's talking about how, you know, he said, look, you know, it's like this. Having 10 virgins, and really what he's saying is just 10 people or 10 young ladies or 10 young girls. And they're waiting to meet the groom that's about to come out. And it was their responsibility. It wasn't the responsibility of the groom, but it was the responsibility of the 10 young ladies or virgins to have enough oil in their lamp to supply for when the groom would come and they would be ready for him. Oil represents the anointing, the presence of God, the power of God. I want to ask you a question today. How much oil is in your lamp? How much oil is in your lamp? You see, we're going to be talking about, you know, God talks about how we're the light of the world and, you know, that we shouldn't hide ourselves and, you know, be that light. But you see, we cannot be the light of the world if the candle that we're holding or the glass bottle that we're holding doesn't have enough oil in it to light up the wick that needs to be trimmed. You know, in the olden days, they talk about how they had their kerosene lamps and all that stuff. And we thought for a few times we might have to go back to all this stuff, you know. We were like, oh, Lord, you know, we lived a day without electricity. And Lord, have mercy. It was like doomsday came, you know. And I know a few others lived a few more days, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, and that had to be, oh, Lord, just miserable. We're just used of it. That's what it is. We're used of it, and thank you, Lord, for it. But the oil represents the anointing and the presence of God, and only you can evaluate how much oil is in your lamp. How much of the presence and the power of God are we seeking him with? You know, this past week I was going into a business. And when I was coming out, there was somebody I noticed there. And I kind of know them like this, you know, just casually. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And I know they're supposed to be Christians and supposed to be going to church and, you know, and all this stuff. And he said, hold a minute, I want to talk to you. I need to go to the restroom, but hold on. So I waited for him, and he came out and just started talking. And the more he talked, the more I knew he hadn't been in church for a long time. I really wanted to throw up. Not that he was cursing, but there were words on the verge of it. And I should have, but I didn't. I almost asked him, when was the last time you went to church? When was the last time you opened your Bible and read it? When was the last time you got on your knees and worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and let him fill you with his presence? Let him do a mighty work of the vessel of the anointing of God. Let him cutting those things out and putting things in. I mean, it was like, he must have saw my face, because he knows I'm a pastor. He knows that. He must have saw my face like, buddy, what's wrong with you? Next time I see him, if it's the same, we will have a conversation. You know, you have limited time, you know, but you know, sometimes we don't realize that the oil that we once had has dripped out. You cannot live, just like in the Old Testament, we cannot live on the old manna and the old bread of yesterday. We got to have the new bread. We got to have the new oil being poured out upon our hearts and upon our lives. Because sometimes we don't realize how much we have drifted away from God. This guy, I'm telling you, I'm going to talk to him. Lord, I've already prayed, Lord, give me another chance, Lord. You know, because sometimes you just kind of think, you don't realize at the moment sometimes. But I said, Lord, give me another chance, please. Give me another chance. You know, all it takes, if I'm walking down a straight line and I want to get to that back door because I'm going in a straight line, all it takes is for me to turn just a few degrees and I'm going to be at the window instead of the door. That's what the enemy will try to do. He will try to drain you of all the presence, the power, the anointing of God upon your heart and upon your life. You have been filled with the Spirit of God. You speak in tongues. The power of Almighty God is in your heart and in your life. And don't let the things of the world drain you. Don't let coworkers drain you. Amen. Don't let other people drain you of the presence of God. Amen. Now, we are to be there full of the presence of God, to be able to give out to other people that are in need and want. But you see, don't let your oil drain out. Here we see five, and the other five, they all fell asleep because they were saying, what? When is he coming? And in the commentary, it doesn't say that was anything wrong. They just got tired, physical body, whatever. But it does say that when he came and the bridegroom came, all ten jumped up. And five said, man, we don't have any oil. Can you give me some? And the five that had it said, no. Amen. Protect the Spirit of God upon your heart. Protect it. You might say, well, how do I protect? Protect it from being defiled by the things of the world. Yes, protect yourself. You know, like Billy Graham said, a great man of God. He said, it's not the first, like when you're driving down there, you know, those billboards on I-10 that some are just horrible. I mean, just some horrible things. He said, it's not that first look that gets you in trouble. It's the second one. Because, you know, we're just driving. We're doing what we need to do. And, you know, the devil will try to put things in front, especially in front of a man's eyes, you know, or a woman's eyes nowadays. They'll try to bring destruction up to the family. And so what we do is don't look that second time. You turn and say, Lord, forgive. And I don't even know if it's not really even sin, really. Because you're just going, and it happened to be there. You say, Lord, protect my eyes. Lord, help me to be a righteous man or woman for the things of God. And all of a sudden, it says they got up. And the five said, oh, no, you go get you what you need. And they ran off to go. And the other five trimmed their wicks and put it up higher and said, "He's coming. He's coming. He's coming." They were ready. And it says that the other five, well, the king came out, and the five virgins went with him that had the oil, and they walked into the promised land, or into heaven. But then the other five ran off to go and get oil and came back, and the door had been shut. They knocked on the door, and to no avail. We got to make sure that we stay the light. We keep that light trimming, that we stand up for what is right. You know, I've been a Christian 40 years. I've seen trends of things coming to churches that, and you know, some blow your mind. I've seen where things were not acceptable 40 or 35 years ago that are now acceptable in churches. I never thought I'd see places where you walk in a church and they have basketball goals and they're doing all kinds of stuff during the sermon, during the worship, throwing balls and all kinds of stuff. Eating and drinking in the sanctuary like it's nothing. I don't understand that. I mean, I'm not saying this is sacred ground, you know, but to the Lord, you know, how is it? Yes. You know, in Lamentations, can you bring that scripture up in Lamentations? I want to read one scripture to you in Lamentations. You got it? Okay. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. It says, "The elders of the daughter of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silence. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground." Here we see, and you might say, well, that verse kind of means, what does it mean? Go back and read Lamentations, and you will see it's Jeremiah that is giving like an interpretation of things that have happened to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, God's people. I mean, that was God's people from the beginning. God just chose these people. And God had brought them out of bondage. He showed them how to build the temple, to have the holy place, the most holy, then the inner holy of holies. I mean, he did a makeshift thing of tents so that they could take it down, put it up wherever they went. I mean, you might say, well, why did he do that? He did it because he wanted to dwell with his people. It's not like today where he dwells on the inside of each and every one of us. He had to have a building, a place where he could dwell. And all of a sudden it says that the people of Baal, that worshiped Baal, which was not a great god, but they worshiped this statue of Baal that did horrible things, that sacrificed children, that did horrible things in the temple. They said that the children of Israel had lost all faith in their God, that they allowed all these people of Baal to walk in to the outer courts, then to take another step and go into the most holies, and then to take another step and go into the holies of holies, where God was, and where they made sacrifices, not to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but unto Baal. And let me tell you, God got fed up with that. That's just like if you would have walked in today. Most of us, I guess, come from a Catholic background, if you want to say. And if you walked in today and I put a statue of Mary right here and I told you to come and kneel right here, you'd say, well, Joe, you just flipped out. Let me take my card back here. I mean, really. Now, I'm not saying, now, he's in this building because we are in this building. But this building has been set aside for the things of God in this town. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's any other place like this place in this town. Now, God will go in because he looks at hearts of people. But that's just like if you'd come in and you'd see all this, and I'm saying, come on in and pray the rosary, and here you go, do this and do that. You would say, Lord, my, oh my, he has flipped out. Because that would destroy what God has done in this place and wanting to do, the Spirit of God moving. That and really that didn't even really compare that much to what they did upon the Ark of the Covenant that was set there with the two cherubims that came down and looked upon it. Can you imagine two cherubims there looking upon that Ark of the Covenant made in one piece of gold? They said they can't make that anymore. They don't even know how they made it. One piece of gold, those statues. They said they don't know how that was made, but it was made by the Spirit of God because God said to do it. And when God says to do something, we shouldn't look how hard it's going to be or how easy it's going to be. We look at obeying the Spirit of God when he tells us to do something. Just because it looked hard, let me tell you, God will bring the right people, will bring the right message, the right money that is needed to get the job done. To get it done. Don't let the oil of the Spirit of God run out of your life, because you will see your light dim. And you will start doing things that you never thought you'd ever do, because that's what happens when you get away from the light. You start to allow things to happen that you never thought you'd ever do. But you run to the light and you say, Lord, I've disobeyed, but Father, help me. Get back to the light. Let that oil be full on the inside of you. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like it's full. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith in the Son of God and what he did at Calvary's cross. Let me tell you, there's more in you than what you know there is that God wants to do in you and through you. You have the power of God. You have the anointing of God. You got the presence of God upon your heart and upon your life. All 10 of these virgins could have been used to usher in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But 5 were left behind. Who wants to be left behind? No one wants to be left up behind. But who wants to serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? He's looking for people that will lay aside everything they can and saying, Lord, I will serve you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And letting the power and the presence of God move upon your heart and move upon your soul. Let me tell you this. Take those scriptures that we've given you out that they have done for us. Apply that to your heart and soul too. You'll see the presence of God. You'll see the power of God. You'll see the anointing of God move upon your heart, move upon your soul like never before. You might say, well, Pastor, this seems impossible, what I'm praying for. Let me tell you, there's nothing that's impossible with God except one thing. God cannot sin. Amen. But he can do everything he can to bring you and I around to get the job done. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. You are the light of the world because God's light lives in you. Let people see it. Don't bring damnation to the name of our God. Don't bring damnation to the name of our church. Don't bring damnation to your family or your community. Let them see the presence of God. Let them feel the presence of God. You see, people out there are looking. They're looking. They're looking for a difference. Yes, they may clown around when you say, oh yeah, I know you don't do this, and I know, and they think it's a religious thing, but it's not. I don't go out drinking and doing all that stuff. You know why? Because of my relationship to the Lord. Because of who I serve and who I love and who I care about. That's why we don't do those things. That's why we don't go carousing, doing all the evils of the world. because we have been saved by the Spirit of God, and He has changed things in our hearts and in our souls, and the light of the gospel lives in us, and we want to be that light that people can see and they will take because they see what God has done in our hearts and in our lives. That's the power of Almighty God. We don't take our light and hide it. We take the light and let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You might say, Pastor, I messed up. That's okay. Not okay you messed up. Just okay, and you get on your knees or you do whatever and you get it right with God. Okay? And you go on. You go on. You don't know how many people I've talked to. They make a mistake, and let me tell you, it takes half a year to get them over that mistake. They got to forgive themselves and go on. Forgive yourself, go on, do what is right, and get the job done. Because God doesn't remember it no more. You know, when David messed up, and had Bathsheba, her husband killed by putting him in the front. Orders from him to cover up his sin. God, when David went to God, God forgave him. Now he had to have there were some things that had to be, he had to reap a few things. But God forgave that man. And God said, that's a man after my own heart. What a man. What a man. We are the light, people. Let that light shine. Let that light shine within you. Look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 8, verse 12, 1861. Oh, Jesus. 1861. John 8:12, it says, Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. People, we got to walk in that light. It says, whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness anymore. Because Jesus is the light, and that light is shining. Let the light of the gospel come through on your heart, in your heart, and in your life. Don't allow the things of the world to creep in. You know, have you ever noticed something that maybe you've been saved for a little while and God just, there were some things that just fell off of your life? Huh? I mean, just thank you, Lord. Then after a couple of years, you find these things trying to creep back in. That's the enemy trying to put out the light in your life and trying to get you to accept it. See, we are the light of the world. Not the bearer of light, but we are the light according to the scriptures, because Jesus is the light of the world and He lives in us. So we got to watch the things that we say, the things that we do, how we live. We got to watch our mouths and what we say against another believer. You know, even though it might be truth, you get those saying, well, it's true. Yeah, I understand. But does it edify and build up the kingdom of God? Can you imagine, you know, you at a place, at a business, and that business, they don't know God at all, but they know you as a Christian. And you start talking about a fellow Christian, and they just look at one another and say, look at this. See, we got to watch those things. We got to love. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, maybe I've probably done it. We've all done it. But this is what we do. We ask God to forgive us, and we say, Lord, tame my tongue. Okay? That it would edify the things of God, of our Lord and Savior. That we are the light of the gospel. Let that light shine forth in those dark places. Let it shine forth, you know. How many of us, you know, have been places where, you know, you just, you know, things just don't look good, and you say, let me pray with you. The world stops. And you pray for that person, with that person. They're not even a Christian, but they're telling you some things that are going on in their hearts and in their lives, because you're there to help. You are a ambassador for Christ. And so as you are an ambassador for Christ, God will use you to get the job done. Remember, there's nothing impossible with God. 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 Let God be God in your heart and life. Be the fire that has the oil in their lamp, saying, come on, come on, come. Come ready to receive the King and our Lord and our Savior. Fill up that container with the oil of the Word of God. Fill up that container with the oil of the Spirit of God. Fill up that container with speaking in tongues and letting the power of God move in. Let God be God. How many times have we gone to God just not feeling good, huh? Just physically. Not that you did anything wrong. I mean, that, we don't realize how saved we are. But you just go to God and you say, Lord, help me. You need to help me inside something. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just comes. And it does something on the inside of you that lifts you up and helps you to go on. Because life is rough at times. Huh? If you have children, life's rough. If you have a spouse, life's rough. Y'all sure? No, it's a great thing. I mean, really, life's, if you have a job, life's rough. If you're retired, life's rough. If you have bills, life's tough. But with God, He knows how to pan things out, and He knows how to soothe the soul. And He knows how to put salve on those hurts and help in those areas. That's the power of God, people. The anointing and the presence of God. One more scripture, and we're going to close. Look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, 1652. Okay, look at verse 14. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And He gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Look at verse 16 again. It says, let your light so shine before men. That God is saying, don't hide the light. Let it shine.
Yes, amen.
Let it shine. Let people see that there's a difference in your heart and in their heart. And it says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven, because that will glorify the Father. Yes. You know, we often say, well, how can we glorify Him? Let your light shine. Oh, hallelujah. That's a great truth, people. How do we glorify the Father? You know, we all want to please Him. Let your light shine wherever you are. You know, and let the Spirit of God speak to you, show you things, reveal yourself, Himself unto you. And the power of Almighty God will move like we've never seen before, people. Amen. 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 You may stand, please. As the word came forth, don't give up, people.